News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Sound Bites. This is America's longest-running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the 6th of August, Anno Domini 2006. And you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 9 minutes after the hour, a beautiful, balmy 79 degrees in downtown Rochester.
It's August already.
Yeah, it is August already.
I mean,
and it's only 79.
It's sad to say, though, but I mean, you're starting to see all the back-to-school ads and everything else, and it's like...
Yes, and there are parents all over the city now going, what are you, an idiot? Of course we want them to go back to school. We can't wait for them to go back to school.
No, but what I'm saying, though, with that comes the parents spending quite a bit of money.
Oh, yes, yes,
school
yes.
supplies. I mean, Fortunately, I've had a number of parents coming in wanting notebooks, you know, laptops for the kids going back to school because they're going to need them.
Yep. And that one tip, make sure you get some form of security connector, the Kensington lock.
Kensington locks, because that's one thing I've been telling them. A lot of folks didn't even know that laptops could be locked down.
Yep.
And I had two parents literally go out and get the Kensington locks.
You wonder what that little hole on the side of the laptop is. That's right. The lock pole.
Well, I was showing them how easy it is to just quick grab that, unhook it, you know, from the power supply. I says, I can go anywhere and get a power plug. You know, you can go to Radio Shack or any of these other places and get a third-party plug.
Right.
But once I've got that laptop, because they're so thin and so light, throwing it in a backpack or anything else, or putting it underneath a coat, you leave your dorm room open and that unlocked, it's gone.
Yep, yep.
And there's, you know, all that money you spent on that laptop. And
the big choice is, do you want the lock that has the key you can lose or the combination you can forget?
Yes, a good important choice to have to make. Also, make sure that your child goes off to school with a good antivirus program, all the anti-spyware stuff installed. Speaking of which, nice segue, Nick, thanks. McAfee's security program has a flaw in it, and that flaw can expose passwords and other sensitive information. It affects just about all their stuff, their internet security suite, spam killer, privacy service, virus scan plus, all of that stuff. There definitely is a vulnerability out there. A fix is available. Update now. And in this case, I don't just mean update your definitions, but update the software itself. The flaw does not affect the 2007 versions of McAfee's products, which were just released last week. So those you don't have to worry about. But there is a way to connect to PCs running the flawed McAfee products over the internet, make them run any code that the bad guy wants. It would make it possible for a criminal to track bank account numbers, access your data, modify it, delete it, do other damage. So make sure you update your McAfee now. There is a fix available for the flaw, but you have to install the fix. That's important.
Yes.
All right. Let's go to the phones. What do you say?
Yeah, we could do that.
And let's talk to Karen from Wayland, New York. Welcome, Karen. What's your question?
On my computer, I'm looking for a decent security protection, and I was just wondering if you could give me some ideas.
Don't connect it to the internet. That's about the only protection you're going to get.
Yeah, but otherwise, we recommend if you go to the securitytango.com,
mm-hmm.
there is a whole host of stuff. We have AVG mm-hmm. by Grisoff for antivirus.
Yep.
Okay.
Adware Spybot. Okay. For doing spam and all
There's,
the...
No, spyware scams.
Spyware and all that.
We don't have a good spam killer, though.
Okay.
That's what I was going to say.
Well, part of the problem with that is there are so many different...
No, we do have a good spam killer in that if you use Thunderbird and
exactly.
Firefox...
Yeah.
Thunderbird your, what?
Yeah.
Thunderbird for email, and it has spam filters built into it.
Okay. And Firefox for pop-up blockers.
Okay. And, which is a web browser. And don't use anything from Microsoft.
Don't use Internet Explorer. Don't use Outlook or Outlook Express. The less Microsoft stuff you use, the better protected you are.
Okay, now I use Outlook Express to open my email.
Yeah, that's one of the biggest targets of the virus writers.
Oh. And with Thunderbird, though, you install it, and it'll say, oh, wait a minute, you're using Outlook Express. Would you like to import all your email and settings? And if you say yes, it brings that on over, and now you can set up the junk control in Thunderbird to automatically delete anything that you have previously marked junk.
Yeah, the real problem is that Microsoft makes excellent products.
Mm-hmm.
They also make an excellent target because they're on so many machines.
Okay.
Now, the other products are also exceptional. They're very good products, just that they have less market share. So if you're going to write a virus, what are you going to write it for? The number one products out there.
And right. You're going to test to make sure that the virus gets by the best virus protection programs.
Or at least the most popular.
The most popular ones like Symantec and McAfee.
Okay.
Right.
So you think that Thunderbird would probably be the best?
I love Thunderbird. I think it's great. I use it myself. My wife uses it. My daughter uses it. It's a great product. Firefox, same thing.
Okay.
For browsing, I would suggest that you use the software in the Security Tango, AVG, Spybot, Adaware. They all have free versions and pay versions. The big difference is that in the pay version, you can automate everything, so it all happens behind the scenes without you having to do a lot of work at it.
Okay.
So you can try the free version and then upgrade to the pay version if you like.
But also back up a step that if you haven't got your computer yet, don't get Windows. Get Linux or Macintosh, and then you don't have to worry as much about the virus and spyware problem.
Oh.
You still should be vigilant.
Diligent
and vigilant. So vigilant about having protections running. But there are no viruses or spyware for Mac or Unix that pose that big a threat.
Okay. One more question, if I can. Probably about 6 months ago now, I was going through some of my files, and somehow or other, I am loaded with pornographic files.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the only one using the computer, and I'm wondering, how did I get those?
Those could be just from various websites that you might have gone to, which were legit.
Right, it's a very common problem caused by using Internet Explorer from Microsoft.
Oh,
it allows pop-up windows. It allows pop-behind windows.
Other Trojans to slide in.
And most of those are quite often spyware generators that they load this web page without you noticing it and start downloading all this stuff to install spyware on your computer.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and each and every one of you on the greatest computer show in the known universe at 16 minutes after the hour at Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Online, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. Now, back to Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 21 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Soundbites. Before we get back to the phones, I want to talk about... here we go. We'll get some calls now. Yeah, this will be good. As it turns out, Apple's MacBooks and Wintel notebooks are vulnerable to wireless attack. There's a thing called the Black Hat Conference going on right now. And this conference invites all the bad guys to talk about what they're doing and what they're making and how it can be, and then we can figure out how to fix it. And they come and they talk. So plans by two hackers to demonstrate wireless vulnerability at the Black Hat conference should shoot a pretty big hole in the bulletproof image Apple is trying to project. Wireless device drivers for computers running both Apple computer and Microsoft operating system, so you Microsoft people, you knew you weren't safe from this one, appear to be full of holes, and a prominent security researcher recommends turning off wireless cards until the holes are fixed. Now, this has to do with our poll, which I probably should have saved this to talk about later, but it appears that it's all about the Centrino vulnerabilities that can also be used to take over computers using Centrino-based cards. So they've actually already demonstrated this. You can take over any MacBook, even if its wireless card is turned on. If its wireless card is turned on, even if you're not connected to a wireless network at the moment. It's not just about Macs. It's also found in Centrino-based laptops. And the big thing is, of course, now that this vulnerability has been proved, it's going to be used all over the place.
One of the rebuttals that I had read about on the Mac websites is that the Apple driver that comes with the computer is not vulnerable. If you have to install a third-party wireless driver to make it vulnerable to this attack, which 99% of the people won't do.
But those who do, my point here...
Those who do should know what they're doing and know better.
Well, you would certainly hope so, but that's not necessarily true. And again, it just brings up the point that if you stick your head in the... If you're a Mac owner... And you just stick your head in the sand and say, well, I'm safe. You're doing both yourself and everybody who gets stuff from you a disservice.
Right.
You just need to be aware that you're no longer 100% bulletproof. It's an important distinction. I'm not saying that Macs are as wide open as Windows, and I'm not saying all you Mac people made a terrible bad choice and you're horrible human beings and all that stuff. All I'm saying is, if you hide your head in the sand, you deserve what you get.
There was a similar report this week, probably from the same conference, that someone was able to crack SQL Server.
So that's not a surprise.
Well, and one of the major news sites was saying that Macs are crackable. And they got rebutted by saying, no, it wasn't the Mac operating system. It was this third-party SQL Server someone had installed. And so the CNN...
But this is the
CNN,
same thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Same thing with Windows. It doesn't matter how they get in.
The point is they can get in.
And just that one, I mean, even if it's one in a thousand, what if you're that one that, you know, Mac user that winds up getting in?
Right. I'm not saying anything about the Mac operating system. God knows. Everybody who works for Macintosh, for Apple, is perfect. They've put out a perfect product. If you've loaded any third-party thing, you are vulnerable. That's all I'm saying, and nobody wants to hear that, but it's true. And there is Mac spyware. There's all kinds of programs like Carbon Keys and Monitor Manager and Type Recorder X and Text Trap and Peeping Tom and all those other Last Resort and all those other things. They're out there, and if you're not protecting yourself against them, yeah, you kind of deserve what you get. That's all I got to say.
User beware.
Exactly. Our next caller is John from Pittsford, New York. Welcome, John. What's your question?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Peachy, how are you?
All right. I'm trying to capture audio to a computer, and I'm hearing both sides of either converting it to digital externally and then capturing it, or converting it internally inside the computer in real time, both ways. Which ones do you recommend, and what programs do you like for a PC?
How fast is your machine?
Very.
Do you have an audio capture card built into the computer?
Good question.
Most sound out cards, have a microphone jack on them already.
Yeah.
Some of them have a mic jack and a line jack. You'll get much better quality using a line jack than you will a mic jack.
Or you can, if you can get that station on your computer through the internet and use a program like Total Recorder, you can set it up and record that program right off your computer into your computer using Total Recorder.
Right.
It depends on where the audio is coming from.
Right. Yeah. What audio is this? Is this audio you already have?
Analog audio on tape.
Yeah. So yeah, you can play it right into the line in, and capture it that way.
Assuming your tape deck has a line out.
Right.
If it only has a headphone out, then you're going to have to amplify it before it goes to the line in.
Yeah. No, I've got line in.
You need line out on the tape recorder.
Yes.
And then line in on your computer.
Correct.
There you go.
So you wouldn't do it externally and bring it in through FireWire then?
You can, you just don't need to.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you've got a fast enough machine and you've got line in and line out.
And one of the tricks is record it uncompressed AIF, and then your computer doesn't have to do as much work compressing the data. After you get the recording done, you can compress it if you want. Or if you're going to put it on CD, you're going to leave it at AIF.
Right. And that way you get it as fast as you can without a lot of chance of screwing it up. with compressing on the fly. Then once you have it, you can let it compress all night if you want to. What do you care?
Well, that's the recording I'm doing with the show now. I end up with a 2 or 3 gig file.
Because it's AIF.
Because it's AIF, yeah.
Right.
And then I compress it down to 30 megs. That's quite a compression.
All right, we're going to take a little break, but we will be back in just a couple of minutes. And who are we going to bring back with us? Why, we're going to bring back Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton. You look like some cartoon character. I don't know which.
Thanks.
And a whole bunch of you on the phone on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Bye. Now back to Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 32 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites.
You're getting good at this.
Thank you so much.
After 16 years, we're finally getting
the time checks in. You should know that we're not done with Apple yet. I'm just going to keep pounding on Apple until somebody cries uncle. Apple's in a little bit of financial hot water at the moment. They are expecting to restate some of their financial results as a probe into its granting of stock options widened, threatening years' worth of profits. The notice of further evidence of irregularities comes as Apple has been riding its wildly popular iPod digital music player, you may have heard of it, to its most profitable period in its 30-year history. Fueled largely by those iPod sales, Apple has reported $3.1 billion in profits. However, without providing specifics, Apple said late Thursday that it uncovered enough evidence of mishandled stock options to raise doubts about the accuracy of its financial statements dating back to September of 2002. Not for nothing, but this is the way they brought Enron down.
Yeah, you got to fire those accountants.
Exactly. They've hired an outside lawyer to take over the investigation. They have notified the Securities and Exchange Commission about their findings. And they, of course, want to complete the accounting review as quickly as possible just to know where they stand. However, they will probably miss a deadline for filing their latest quarterly report with the SEC. They said they've hired, like I said, an outside lawyer to lead the investigation. We'll see what happens.
They're also in the middle of a $500 million expansion of a new campus in Cupertino. There's a really great video on the internet, Steve Jobs talking to the Cupertino City Council, saying, we're your largest taxpayer. I thought you'd like to know we're going to stay in Cupertino. It would have been a lot cheaper if we bought a building somewhere else, but we figure we'll stay here.
Yeah. but this is the thing. This is... it sounds like, fine, they got to redo. This is the start of what brought Enron down.
Finding out that they're...
Starting with stock option irregularities. So they need to be, we'll keep an eye on this for you. You really need to keep an eye on this. This can be pretty serious.
We should also, I'll bring it up this time, we'll continue on Apple's bad news.
Yeah,
they have a battery exchange program running. If you bought a 15-inch MacBook Pro, the new Intel-based laptop, some of the batteries have been known to, shall we say, overheat and
not
swell.
To say explode.
Well,
swell rapidly.
Yeah. And I actually saw one. There've been battery recalls on every brand of computer for 30 years now, and I finally saw my first one that actually happened. It's usually one guy somewhere in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
So if you have a 15-inch MacBook Pro, I've posted a link to Apple's website. Check the serial number and model number on your battery, and there's a little form on the page where you can get a free battery replacement if yours is one of the affected batteries.
Speaking of which, we have John from Greece who probably wants to talk about that very topic. Welcome, John. What's your question?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yes, I've got a Macintosh Performa 6300 CD. I'm back. But I think I got to change my battery now because I'm losing time. Can I do that myself, or have I got to take that to... an Apple dealer.
You can do it yourself. The problem is going to be finding that correct type of battery. In the Performa series, it was a square 4.5 volt Maxell 840. And I scare myself that I know that.
You've always scared me. Yeah. I'm glad to know you're joining the party.
The only time, the only place I've been able to find them is at the Ham Fest. In fact, a friend of mine bought a handful of them last year at the Hamfest.
You can also check, there's a place called Battery Biz on batterybiz.com.
Most of the battery sites you're going to find on the internet are for laptop main batteries. Finding the desktop battery can be tricky. Someplace like Radio Shack might have them. I know we at Jesse Group can order them through Apple. They're about $30 because they probably stopped making them years ago. But it's not the standard lithium wafer battery.
Or, you know,
it's a pretty good sized battery.
Yeah, it's about an inch cube.
Or
yeah,
another right. place to go is over to Goldcrest.
Yeah, they'll probably be able to
they'll
know where
be
to
able
order
to
one
get
at least.
It for you because I had one.
Well, the trick is having the right pins on it, so they might be able to find the battery, and then you'll have to cut the head off and solder
they,
the connector on.
If you can take them the battery. And they can take a picture of it and that, and look at it and do a diagram because I had an odd battery. It was like a 5-battery configuration for my hand drills,
yep.
These little drills that we use in the shop. Well, it's not a standard thing. Well, he drew it up there and wound up sending it out to one of his distributors. It came back, and it was all wired up correctly. All I had to do was solder it back into the drill, and it's working great.
But if you can get the real Apple battery, of course, that'd be a lot easier to just pop out and pop in. So, yeah. So give Steve a call and order one, and you should be on your way. All right, our next caller is Trudy from Greece, New York. Welcome, Trudy. What's your question?
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I am having a pop-up come on to my computer every time I turn it on that says, Spy Subtract has determined that your network configuration is damaged. Do you want Spy Subtract to restore your network?
No.
Get rid of Spy.
Spy Subtract is spyware, and it is installing more and more hideous things in your computer.
Okay, because I didn't even. I mean, I knew that we didn't install it, so I didn't know how it got there. So what
it's time
is,
for you to go to securitytango.com.
I've heard you talk about that so many times.
And it's a very useful place. Go to securitytango.com, click the Let's Dance button. And print out that page and follow it step by step. Do not skip any steps.
Okay.
That's why we say it's a dance. If you skip a step, it's no longer a dance. It's just a stumble.
And this is now sneaky, too. Trend Micro has an anti-spyware program called Spy Subtract, which is the same name as a spyware program called Spy Subtract.
Right.
Well,
it's one of those fake messages that pop up and say you're infected, click here to disinfect yourself or something like that. And when you click there, it actually infects you worse.
That's what I was afraid, so.
Yeah, you're right to be afraid, Trudy.
Uninstall it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The other thing about that I have to say about the Security Tango site, well, two things. First, you can get most of the programs that are on it for free, but you should really think about the pay versions because it helps to support them, and it also you get some extra features. And read my blog while you're there. Click on Nick's blog and do that. We're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you at 39 minutes after the hour. It's Soundbites.
Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Google. Let's keep talking about bad stuff or malware, as it's called. What's great is Google has started warning people when search results could potentially lead them to malicious code. The search giant is using data from the Stop Badware Coalition to flag sites that potentially host malicious software. People who attempt to go to a website that has been identified as risky are actually taken to a warning page. It says, warning, the site you are about to visit may harm your computer. Now, this interrupt page suggests that users can try returning to the search page, choosing a different result, trying a different search, or they can continue on to the potentially malicious site. Google likens this effort to a neighborhood watch program. Sites in question are not removed from the search engines, but the idea is that users are warned of potential problems.
Yeah.
And I love this idea. So you do a search for something, and you suddenly get a little notice that this, you maybe don't want to go
potentially
here.
Potentially might be harmful. You know,
right. It's been marked as a place where bad people put bad stuff that automatically downloads to you in the background. So I think that's a great idea. One more kudo for Google.
And let me make an interesting and related segue here.
Sure.
The Apple Cider Users Group meeting is this coming Wednesday night. And our topic this week is a gaggle of Google.
There you go.
We are going to be talking about some of the other services that Google offers besides the search engine, including Google Earth, mapping site, Google SketchUp, a 3D graphics program, Gmail, of course, their email service, and all some of the other things that Google is doing, which is really, really cool. We do have a change of venue this month. Our normal meeting place is closed for the summer, so we're going to be meeting this Wednesday, August 12th at 7 p.m. at the Community Dark Room, which is at 713 Monroe Avenue near Oxford. And there'll be parking at the Blessed Sacrament Church across the street. Again, that's 7 o'clock Wednesday at the Community Dark Room. You can get more information on the Apple Cider website at applecider.org.
Perfect. Those of you who are Apple fans, that's the place to go.
Or even Google fans, for you Windows users. A lot of the Google software works the same under Windows because it's all Java-based. Google's trying to become platform independent, and Microsoft hates them.
Yes, exactly. Have you seen Google Earth?
Yes.
I love it.
I love
the
Google
flybys
Earth.
Are that cool.
It's so great.
Yeah.
You do need a semi-fast video card to get it all. And I'll have that, of course,
yes.
tomorrow.
Yes, you will.
So at any rate, that's pretty cool stuff. Our next caller is Ginny from Pittsford, New York. Welcome, Ginny. What's your question?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Our pleasure.
I heard you talking about the AVG free antivirus.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I just wondered if it's possible to download it and try it while you still have another antivirus on your system.
No.
Well, it's possible, but
it's
not
possible,
recommended.
But here's the thing. Running two of them, you're going to cause more issues on your machine.
They're going to fight each other. Your machine's going to be a lot slower.
Because they're both trying to scan your machine when they boot up. So
right.
It's got to be one or the other.
It's certainly possible that you can run them side by side without any troubles. But at some point, they're going to try to access the same file at the same time, and you're going to have trouble. Now, one of the things that you can do is turn off Norton.
Yeah.
Then, download AVG first while Norton is still on.
Okay.
Then you can turn off Norton. You can just set it to not do any scanning, not be in the background, you know.
Disable
everything.
Permanently.
And that, I would suggest permanently.
Well, no, there's a feature. It's either 5 minutes, 10 minutes. 1 hour, 5 hours, or permanently. If you disable it permanently, that will turn off everything. So rebooting and everything else won't turn it on. But you can then click on the icon down in the tray in the lower right-hand corner and re-enable it.
Right. So you can then try AVG, see how you like it, see how it works for you, and then make your decision as to which one you want to buy, which one you want to use. Now, again, with AVG, I must remind you, it really comes in two versions. There's a free version, which you have to run by hand, and then there's the pay version, which will let you do automatic scanning.
Okay.
But it's also pretty inexpensive compared to Norton, and I personally think it works better. Remember, last week we were talking about some bad guys who have actually created their software to get around the top three antivirus products, one of which is Norton.
Mm-hmm.
So you may find that you have stuff on your system that AVG catches that Norton did not, because it's designed to get around Norton, but not designed to get around AVG.
Even the free version is that good?
Even the free version is that good, absolutely.
Okay.
The only real difference between the pay and free versions is some of the conveniences like automatic scanning and stuff like that.
Okay. Okay, great. Thank
All right.
you very much for helping me.
No, thank you. It's our pleasure. All right, our next caller is Jeannie on a cell phone. Jeannie, you're pulled over the side of the road, right?
Actually, my husband's driving.
That's okay. We'll let him for now.
My husband has a Roadrunner connection.
Oh, yeah, we're going to blame him, are we? He's not only driving, he's the problem.
Well, my new computer is the problem.
Okay.
My new computer is different. He has a Roadrunner connection for a Macintosh computer, and I recently got a laptop that's an IBM compatible. I was wondering, how can I plug into the Roadrunner?
Well, Roadrunner is designed to have one computer at a time. It doesn't matter what brand computer that is. If you want to have both computers at the same time, you need a network router, which they start about $50. Since you have a laptop, it might be convenient to get a wireless router.
Yeah, so then Linksys. You don't.
Yeah, and both Dave and I like the Linksys brand.
All three of us.
Thank you. That means that you don't have to plug a wire into the router. You can connect to it wirelessly anywhere in your house.
Okay. Those are a little more expensive, but they work exactly the same way.
$70.
Yeah, $70.
Right. When I say a little more expensive, I'm not kidding.
But okay. That would solve all your problems, and both of you can be on it at the same time.
So basically, you buy the router, and you don't need much more than a four-port router. They don't make real one-port router. So you buy a four-port router.
Wireless.
You plug that with wireless capability. You plug that into the Roadrunner modem.
Okay.
Then you hook your... husband hooks his Mac to the router.
Okay.
You can connect either via wire or wirelessly to the same router. So everybody's connected to the router. The router's connected to Roadrunner.
Okay.
And it's that simple, literally that simple. Now, there are other things that you can and should do to protect that router, to lock it down.
So your neighbors don't get in.
Right.
Okay.
You can put a password on it. You can do all kinds of things to it. But those are the basics of how you would connect.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for the advice. I appreciate your help.
Absolutely. Yeah. Our pleasure. Thank you.
We could also mention that Time Warner offers a wireless router as well for a few more dollars a month
than you're paying
for your regular wired router.
Right, right. And so it's your choice as to whether you go out and buy your own or you essentially rent theirs.
Mm-hmm.
Right. All right. We're going to take another quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
These guys can answer your questions. Back to more Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. We have Keith from Farmington who wants to chime in on Google Earth. Welcome, Keith. What's your question? Keith, are you there?
Hello, Keith.
We lost him in the commercial.
Keith?
Google Earth is really
cool. Do we have
cool.
no Keith? Is that what we're saying? No Keith.
We lost him.
We lost
Keith.
Well,
let's mention Google Earth. And Google Earth is like a mapping site, you know, maps.yahoo, google.yahoo. But it uses satellite photos and aerial photos, so you can actually see the actual pictures of the buildings. And what's really neat is you can get driving directions between two addresses, and then it flies you down the street as if you were driving that. It's really cool.
Cool.
I like their hybrid view that it lays over the street names on top of the satellite photos.
Yeah.
You look at a picture of your own neighborhood from a satellite, and it's very hard to tell your house.
Yeah, it really is. But you can zoom in on your house.
Up there's
and you can see when the neighbors, that's always the big question is when the picture was taken. So you got to look at what cars in the neighbor's driveway,
right.
whose garage was built when. And
welcome, Keith. Sorry we lost you.
Just to mention on the Google Earth, on my laptop, it didn't work right. No matter which mode I opened it up, I always had, when I clicked the icon to show the street, I got a starring pattern. But on my new computer, it worked great. But one of the really... truly nice things is the ability to measure distance, and you can measure it in a straight line or plot a path. And from Culver Road to Alexander Street, it's 1.21 miles. So anybody that wants to walk to Park Avenue,
there you go.
Rob, you were complaining about how far away it was.
The other thing about the when you were talking about the router, I did the same. I've got two Microsoft MS computers,
right?
But with the router, it's the coolest thing. I was able to hook up the home network, where if you're at one computer and your wife's on the other computer, but you need to see something on that computer,
you can share files on this network now too.
Unbelievably simple, and like you said, it is just basically just connect the wires where they logically fit, and you're
there
working.
Yeah.
It really works well, especially on the. If you've got a newer computer, too.
Yep. Yeah, they're great. Thank you. Thank you, Keith.
Thank you.
Yeah, the thing about laptops is many of them don't have high-end graphics cards or don't have a lot of graphics memory or share the graphics memory with the main memory. All of those things will either slow down the graphics or make it impossible to do really high-end, very intensive, graphics-intensive stuff, such as Google Earth, which is very graphics-intensive. But if you've got a high-end video card, or you've got a high-end, it's got to be a high-end video card in a high-end machine, you should be pretty good. I'm very impressed with Google Earth, and I can't wait to see it on my new machine. I've been talking about this new machine. Tomorrow I'll be over at Dave's for a while, loading Ubuntu on my brand new hot box. Should be fun.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to seeing that fly on this new machine.
64-bit. I got 64-bit version of Ubuntu.
Quite excited to see, the graphics card and everything else. It should really.
Yeah, I'm just hoping there's a driver for that newer graphics card.
we'll find out, but I mean, it should really fly.
Yeah, it should. So I'm pretty impressed. But yeah, things like Google Earth. If you've got a high-end graphics card, you deserve to show it to yourself.
It's one of those basic things we've mentioned over the years. People just want to do basic stuff with their brand new computer.
Right.
Now a basic thing is fly over satellite maps.
Yep.
So, and that's not basic to the computer anymore.
Right. We get people saying that all the time. What should I buy? And I don't want to spend a lot of money. Okay, what are you going to do? Oh, I'm going to do a little word processing, a little bit of email, maybe some web browsing, and I want to play Half-Life and Halo, and I want to do Google Earth.
Yeah.
I want to do video editing. Nothing much.
So when you see that commercial for the $399 computer at the local superstore, right. It ain't going to do any of that.
Right. If all you want to do is email and web browsing, then that $399 machine is going to do you great.
Yeah. Unless you're emailing videos and hundreds of photos.
Right, and then you're right back up to a high-end machine.
Yeah.
I've said it for years and years, and it's never stopped being true. The price of poker keeps going up. The more you can do, the more you want to do, and the more it's going to cost you to do.
And every company is trying to invent that next thing everyone wants to do.
Well,
and
And the thing of it is, though, and folks will constantly, and I'm sure you get it too, Steve, they'll come to us and say, well, I can get, in this ad, I can get this one so much cheaper. Why can't you do it? It's like,
look at the fine print and see it's 128 RAM and shared video.
What you're
and
getting for the buck, you got to compare apples to apples, not apples and oranges.
That's like going to a car dealer and saying, well, I can get a Yugo for, $1,200. Why do I want to spend the money on this minivan?
Yeah.
Because you can do more with it. You want to carry around 8 kids, you don't get a Yugo. It's the way it works.
If you want to carry the Yugo, you get the minivan.
Yeah, right. Strap the Yugo to the roof and you're still better off.
Drive it into the back.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Rob Jason is in to give you news, weather, sports, all the really important stuff. And then back to the frivolity of Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180 or *1180. A free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
In our second hour of Soundbites at 6 minutes after the hour, we're ready to take more of your calls and all the good stuff that we've been doing. But before we do that, I want to talk a little bit about what goes on at our website, soundbites.org. That's Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. Every week, we do a poll. Last week, Microsoft re-announced a Vista delay. That's like their 184th one. And so our question was about the delay. How do you feel about that? 309 of you voted. 309 of you voted, making it number 124 in the all-time hit list. Thanks to each and every one of you. 61% say the latest Vista delay has absolutely no impact on you, followed by 14% who chose the Linux, 8% the Macintosh, 8% means I want to bet, 7% saddens me deeply, and 3% who've apparently been hiding their heads in the sand for the last, 5 years, it surprised them. This week's poll is about the Centrino Wireless. We talked about how Macs and PCs have a wide open hole in them, and they talk blithely about Centrino Wireless. Well, what is Centrino Wireless? What does it mean? What they don't tell you is that so many Intel laptops come with Centrino Wireless. Some of them have a label, as does my laptop here. It says Intel inside in the blue part of the logo and Centrino in the red part of the logo.
That means Intel paid them a little money to stick that label on there.
That's exactly what it means.
That's why you hear it at the end of all the commercials. Intel pays a little bit of money to hear that little ding, ding, ding.
Yes, they do. So the question is, my system includes Centrino Wireless, which is really a statement more than a question. The choices are yes, no, and no idea. And I wanted an actual answer as to how many people thought they had it this time. How many people say no idea? And so I left off the Linux and the Macintosh. So far, 79 of you have voted. 55 of you say no, 17 say yes, and 7 have no idea. You need to have an idea because of the vulnerability that's out there and the need for an updated driver. You need to get that driver and get yourself updated. When you're done taking the poll, take a look underneath at the little yellow box. Click on Give Us Your Opinion, and that will take you to my website, AskNick.com. That's AskNick.com. Possibly the most frightening thing I've ever heard. Is that the Wilhelm screen? No, I don't think it is. No, it's not. At any rate, and you can leave an actual opinion more. The question there is, have you upgraded your Centrino driver? Most people have not said yes, no, or anything else. They've said other things, but that's okay, too. Give us your opinion. You have 255 characters to put your opinion in there. While you're there, take a look around. Click on the newsletter button. See the newsletter I send out 3 times a week, all the nifty information and stuff that's on there. That's only $15 a year. I don't know why you're not affording that. Great stuff in our forums. Buy cool-ass Nick stuff at the Ask Nick shop. And then, of course, come back to our website at soundbites.org and all the same things. We have forums with the greatest people on earth in them. We have a shop of our own. You can look at the FAQs, the links. If you click on the links tab, the third thing on the list is the list of sites mentioned weekly on the show. You can get Dave's Security Tango CD if you don't want to. If you're on a slow dial-up or you don't want to have to be bothered downloading it all, you can get the CD from Dave to do all of that. Also,
posters.
You can get take a look at the posters. Great posters. podcast feed is there. The archive of the old shows is listed there. All that good stuff is there. And in addition, I do want to mention one last thing about the Security Tango. Please read my blog. I write a random security blog every once in a while whenever the mood strikes me and something particularly interesting hits the news. I write a little blog about it. I can't get into the daily blog thing.
No.
I can't get into it. But
well,
for security,
it's this thing called a life.
Well, there's that.
Yeah, where do these bloggers find the time around their real job? They don't have real jobs.
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
Now that there
move
aren't
out
so
of your
many...
parents' basement. Yeah,
exactly. Now that there aren't so many Star Trek shows on the air, they've got more. They've got more time to blog.
Oh, Jay Leno had a great bit the other night. There is a new Star Trek movie coming, Star Trek 11. It's being written by J.J. Abrams, who did Lost. So we expect.
What's it do? Show William Shatner in a wheelchair?
Well, that's the big question. Is it going to be retelling the Kirk Spock McCoy younger days or whatnot? So Leto was saying, it's the 11th movie. It's going to take place 500 years in the future, which is about the time the Jews will forgive Mel Gibson.
I was going to say, it must be all the Star Trek friends at an AARP meeting.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Waddles in space. Now, listen.
Well, we have to mention it now. The Star Trek Olympics are today.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
Brighton Town Park, 777 Westfall Road at Clinton. The USS Tranquility, one of the local Star Trek clubs. We every year we have our annual Star Trek Olympics. We have the Ferengi and Captain Kirk's, the captain's log, and Captain Says, Simon Says contest.
Sure, sure.
So every year we have this little get-together down at the park. It's just a picnic and an excuse to, talk
geek
Star
out.
Trek.
The sure,
geek out,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Does this geek make me look fat? Or there's a podcast out named something like that. Do I look fat in this geek or something?
You're right.
But all right, Star Trek Olympics, yeah.
Star Trek Olympics, yeah. All right, okay.
Phone calls.
TMI,
you know.
TMI. No, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, if you're having a good time, the heck with everybody else.
There's a really neat show that's been on History Channel now and then, how William Shatner changed the world.
Right.
And he's hosting it, which is kind of lame, but he's got a few good liners in it. But it's about all of our modern inventions that came from Star Trek.
Right.
The guy that invented the cell phone, literally invented the cell phone at Motorola, saw William Shatner pull this communicator out of his pocket and said, I want one of those, and made it.
Right. And because he could.
Because he could, yeah. So
right.
And that was, well, that was one of the problems with the last Star Trek Enterprise TV series with Scott Bakula. It was supposed to take place before the classic series, but 30 years in real time later, their technology was so much better.
Yeah, right. Well, there's a great story about the guys who did all the tech on the original Star Trek show. They said the worst thing is we would get calls every single week from people who wanted to license the door technology.
Yeah.
Whoosh. You know, those would go whoosh when somebody walked up and whoosh closed when they went by. I said, well, it's two guys off camera with ropes, but if you want that, we'll sell it to you.
And then they'd get cease and desist orders. A lot of the medical tools, the medical scanners.
Yeah.
You know, how did you get our trade information? Our lawyers are going to come after you. And it was Roddenberry saying, well, I just thought it would be cool to not have to get prodded with needles. So
we
made a medical scanner bed, the salt shaker, you know, the classic.
Right. All the medical devices were salt shakers.
But nobody knew what a salt shaker was. In their pilot episode, they had the salt monster.
Right.
So they were trying to come up with a salt shaker, a futuristic salt shaker, but they were too futuristic, and they became medical toys.
Right.
So it was eventually just a regular salt shaker.
It's true, though, that science fiction has really brought out everything that we use today. Is somebody as a kid read science fiction or saw science fiction, and as they grew up, they thought to themselves, why can't we have
I want to make that happen. In fact, there was a similar show just before Stargate premiered their 10th season, which is now the longest-running science fiction show in America, second longest in the world behind Doctor Who.
Well, let's go.
And the science of Stargate, and there's people working on wormholes and instantaneous interstellar travel.
Well what about Conflict, or the other Roddenberry series?
Earth Final Conflict.
Earth the Final Conflict. They had those little things where you'd hold one end, pull it out, and talk to the guy.
Right, a video phone.
Those are real
we
now.
We have those now,
well,
yeah.
Let's go back even farther, guys. Back to Dick Tracy.
Yeah.
Oh, heck yeah.
The wrist
heck, we're
wrist
talking
phone.
Back, yeah. The wrist phones, and everybody thought, that's so futuristic. And let's go back to even the old films where they were, you saw where they thought the moon was made of cheese.
Right.
And they're firing the cannon, and it wound up landing in the corny little face of a moon,
right.
And it was bleeding cheese.
Right, right, right.
I mean, space travel is come and gone now.
Right.
Dick Tracy with the wristwatch. I mean, now they got phones that are so darn small, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, the next one is a subliminal implant.
Right. And, you know, with the Bluetooth wireless.
Well, they've got a computer now that will follow your eye movements.
Yeah.
And you can control it just without you look at a... You look at a menu and it drops down.
You think how far we've come just in our lifetime.
Well, you look back at the old Flash Gordon stuff and all of those, and you think, oh yeah, when they read it in the 30s, it was death ray. What an amazing thing! Now we look at it and say, okay, laser beam.
Microwave, yeah,
microwave gun. Yeah, big
it's,
deal.
It's the power source. We could have death rays now, but you need a giant electric truck generating the
well,
power.
Well, that's a friend of mine said that once. Except for the magic technologies like the transporter and warp speed, which, by the way, we're getting those. But aside from those, the main thing in Star Trek that really separated them from us, because everything else was technically feasible, nothing had wires, nothing needed batteries. You know, the only time you ever saw wires was when there was an explosion or a hit from the Romulans or whatever, and then B-lights would fall out of the ceiling.
And it wasn't wires, it was optical conduit.
Right.
We call that fiber optics now.
We call that fiber 30 optics.
30 years ago, optical conduit.
Yeah. And nothing ever needed to be, the only time anything needed to be charged was when it was a plot point.
Yeah.
You know, you ran out of phaser, so you had to run away, or your phaser overloaded, and that's the only time you ever heard about anything needing to be charged or plugged in or recharge.
Well, it's all direct broadcast power like Tesla wanted did. It in the first
exactly.
place.
Exactly. All right. We're going to go back to the phones just because we feel like it. Our next caller is Scott from Geneva, New York. Welcome, Scott. What's your question?
Hey, guys.
Thank you.
I question about hooking up a CD burner to an HP Pavilion. I know the CD burner works because it's worked in another machine seconds prior to taking it out and hooking it up to the Pavilion. And then I took it out and hooked it up to the other machine, and it still worked. It's not registering in the BIOS.
How old a computer are you plugging it into?
It's a 700 megahertz PC. So
you made it a BIOS
probably
update.
Like 5 years old.
And did you set the jumpers correctly for it?
Yeah, I've swapped it from master to cable select to taking the jumper out altogether, and I've used a different cable, and it's still.
Have you tried putting it on its own chain without anything else?
Yeah, it's the only drive in the machine.
Okay, here's the thing. Now, how is the hard drive set up? Is that set up as cable select, master, or slave?
There is no hard drive. What I'm trying to do is I have a Puppy Linux bootable CD.
Sure.
And I've just been playing around with that and trying to boot off from it. I know that the CD does work because in the original CD-ROM drive, it boots fine, but I'm trying to save my sessions to that bootable CD.
Well, booting a CD needs an even newer BIOS.
Okay.
You got to put that as in the boot sequence in the BIOS, make sure that that's set to go there first. Not,
yeah,
it
is.
All right. And then make sure it's on the primary chain.
Okay, so rather being on the master or secondary, it should be the primary?
Absolutely.
Put it on the primary. If that's the only thing that's going to be there, put it on the primary and see if it'll work that way.
Some of the older BIOSes required something in the primary before they'd work as a before they'd look for a secondary.
Okay.
If they didn't find anything in the primary, they stopped looking.
Okay. All right.
Be able to boot from that and run Puppy Linux, and you'll need a keychain USB drive, one of those little thumb drives,
mm-hmm.
to actually save your data to.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll give it a try.
That should work. I've been doing that. I've been having the most fun. I've got a 512 meg thumb drive with damn small Linux on it, which only takes 50 meg. The whole rest of the drive is files that I've created or saved or whatever. I can go anywhere and reboot to that. Now, you do have to have an even newer machine.
Yeah.
But I can go do that. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you at 19 minutes after the hour. It's Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
We're not sure what Sean Hannity knows about computers. But then again, we're not sure what the Soundbites boys know about anything but computers. Catch Sean Hannity later today on Wham! Now, back to Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, couldn't you guys have been a little bit slower?
Interrupt coffee.
Yeah, never interrupt coffee. Never interrupt coffee. At 24 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Soundbites. Now, before we get back to the phones, it's more of a security thing this week. Those of you who read a lot of blogs or a lot of podcast feeds or a lot of that sort of thing often do it through things like feed readers, they're called. Life Aria is one. There's a whole bunch. iPodder, Podcaster, Pod this and Pod that, Pod people. They're RSS feeds or Atom feeds, that sort of thing. The problem is that a lot of them will either internally run as if they were a web browser, or they will call Internet Explorer as the web browser. And so often attackers can insert malicious JavaScript in content that you get through those RSS feeds. The problem doesn't affect only blogs, of course. Any kind of information feed using any kind of format can potentially be used to transmit that stuff. People subscribe to mailing lists and news websites. Sometimes they do that via RSS. This is about the entire concept of web feeds. There are a bunch of them that download JavaScript stuff, and so you should either make sure that your blog reader, your reader software, strips away JavaScript or that you are running updated antivirus in the background. Of course, JavaScript mostly, this is Windows machines, but JavaScript works on the Mac and on Linux as well. So all of us should make sure that we are protected against those things.
Speaking of pod things. I found this coolest website this week, Podbricks. And it's a custom Lego type company. And they just released Apple's 1984 TV commercial in Lego format. You can buy all the pieces in Lego format. They sold out in minutes.
I don't doubt it.
But it's so really cool. They got the little lady
throwing the
hammer. The
little lady with the hammer. Oh, how cool is that? I want one. Let me know when they're back. How much was it?
$200.
Okay, I don't want one. Our next caller is Lauren from Penfield, New York. Welcome, Lauren. What's your question?
Hi, guys. I really hope you can help me.
Me too.
I accidentally deleted a Word file from a flash drive. And I found out that XP doesn't put it into the recycle bin when you do that.
Right. Yeah.
Now, have you written anything more, too?
No, I've been just sitting staring at it.
You may be able to use an undelete program
to
get it back.
Can I go out and get an undelete program? Does
Norton Utilities still have undelete built into it?
I'm on XP.
Yeah, I think that one of the Norton suites has an undelete in it. Google the internet
if
for
undelete. If you have any
undelete.
Problems with it, Lauren, tell you what, you know, give our shop a call and we can set up a time and stop by and I'll take a quick look at it.
Okay, but you're saying that it should still be there.
It should still be there. And there are a couple of companies that make USB flash drive data recovery products.
Generally intended for photographs from a digital camera card as well.
Okay.
Right. But this particular one that I'm looking at, BlueChilies.com, will also do Word, Excel, PowerPoint, XLS, MDB, all kinds of stuff. It's basically pen drive data recovery software.
Okay. Are
so
these
it's
free?
Available, and it'll do MP3s and everything else.
Okay.
It's available, but be very careful not to write anything else to that drive.
Right.
Yeah.
No, it's sitting by itself now.
And now you have learned to do what?
Back it up.
Thank you, Lauren.
Thank you, guys.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
And that's at BlueChilies.com. Steve will have a link up to that.
Like I say, I've got software. You know, she runs into a big problem doing it.
Yeah, take it
to Dave.
Some
of the professional data recovery services, well, actually, we should mention those, too. Data Rescue, Drive Savers. They generally cost upwards of $1,000 or more to recover a hard drive. It may be less for flash drives since the capacity is so much less. But services like that are possible as well.
Well, but the problem with flash drives is if she does write something else, it's likely to rewrite the memory area, and there is recovery from that.
Yeah.
But as long as she has not written anything else to it, should be recoverable. Our next caller is Terry from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Terry. What's your question?
Hi. I started dancing the tango.
Oh, good for you.
And I deleted my internet temp files.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow, I don't know, I was going to finish it later. I had to go do something. I closed it out. All right. So I had to get all the way back in to the browser, the internet, whatever. And when I went to try and get back in, it would no longer connect me to anything on the internet. I couldn't get to Yahoo. I couldn't get to Google. I couldn't get to the
Tango. That should not be due to your temporary internet files.
Yeah, you did nothing but the Tango stuff.
I didn't even complete it. All I did was delete the internet files.
Mm-hmm.
What it sounds like happened, I've seen this happen.
Uh-huh.
There are spyware and virus programs that change the way your system works. And until you have finished the Tango, that's why I suggest downloading all the pieces first.
Okay.
Dancing the entire Tango and then rebooting.
Terry, one other thing, though. Now, you said you stopped it. Now, is this the only machine in the house?
Yes.
So you don't have a router or a hub?
No. I have dial-up. I don't really use it that often. What I did have to do, finally, after a half hour, I had to restore it till the morning before. And I was able to hook up to the internet again.
Yeah, yes.
You got some spyware.
You've got some spyware on there. And what it did was change your host's file, probably,
yep.
if not one of the others. So what you need to do is fully dance the tango and let it run all the way. And I realize it's a very long process, particularly on a slower machine with a large hard drive. But you need to dance the entire tango, and that should clean up all the spyware and fix the problem.
What does it mean in there where it tells you that you have to turn off the restore mode?
Yeah, the reason for that is that many virus programs hide in the restore area.
There. Okay.
And so
turn it back on and still restore my computer?
No.
I have to?
Well, once you're done cleaning everything.
After cleaning.
Yeah, you've got to do the complete tango. Once you get it completely done, then you can turn the restore point back on.
But you lose all the old restore points.
Because you don't want to restore a previous setting that had the viruses in it.
Right.
Because they can literally, I've seen it, where one of those viruses that could get in there, and it affects every restore point that you have in there, constantly copying itself to previous restore points. So that's why it's good to get rid of them all. Because if you, say, had 3 months worth in there, it could affect every one of them. That's why we have you turn it off, and it dumps every one of them, so that when you turn it back on, you're starting with clean restore points, and you do the tango, you know, once you get the AVG on there and do that, or your antivirus program, keep that up to date, and doing the Adware and SpyBot, you're keeping the machine clean week to week.
Right, because the way the system is now, I'll almost guarantee that you have restored a virus that was sitting on your machine somewhere.
Yep.
So you have to be kind of careful of that. All right, we're going to go, I forgot to write that down, so I have to do that. There we go. Our next caller is Len from Fairport, New York. Welcome, Len. What's your question?
Hi, guys. I'm looking at buying a new iMac, and I currently have a fairly old PC running 98, which is serviceable and still goes, and I'd like to be able to...
You're in for some culture shock, Len.
I know.
Let me tell you the truth. That's great, but you be prepared. Get a seatbelt.
My question is this. I would like to keep both of them running on the Internet and service the 98 as long as possible before I have to bury it in the ground. I called Frontier, which I have. I have Frontier DSL.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that they don't have any product that works for the Mac, that I would have to go back to.
Every product works for the Mac.
They have nothing specific.
They don't support a product, which doesn't mean there aren't any.
Okay.
Every internet router supports the Mac. Yeah.
See, the big secret here is no internet connection cares what machine is on the other end.
The internet was created with Unix. The fact that it works on Windows is a hack.
Yes, exactly. For example, in my house, I have a Mac box, a Linux box, and a Windows box, all on a router from D-Link, all going to my Frontier DSL line, and nobody cares. They all work fine.
Okay.
So all you need to do is to set the thing up with a router. As we said earlier to Jeannie, you buy a router, connect that to your DSL modem, connect the computers to that router, either wirelessly or wired, and you are on. You're all on.
Okay. So if I do want to put one up in a second floor and one in a basement, I would need a wireless.
Yes.
Well, that's the convenience of a wireless router is that you don't have to string wires through your house.
Right.
And virtually every Mac model virtually every PC, virtually every Mac and many PC desktops come with wireless networking built in now.
And if you have a desktop without wireless built in, you can buy a wireless card for a desktop. The real problem with any of that when you're talking about wireless is how old your house is. And what's in between you and the wireless router?
Yeah, the really old houses often have plaster over chicken wire.
That's my house.
Which will block radio signals.
The most secure wireless connection on my network, because even I can't get it.
You're inside a Faraday cage. A lot of the really new houses use aluminum joists, which can block the radio signal. Yeah. And some of the fancier houses have leaded glass windows, which block the radio signal.
And for example, if you're on the second floor and you want to put this in the basement and in between you is the kitchen, the refrigerator or the stove could certainly block the signal.
All that metal in the kitchen can block the signal.
I won't promise you you'll be able to get it, but I won't tell you you can't. It is entirely site-specific.
And there's usually workarounds. You string one wire and move a router so it's around the other side of the kitchen.
Sometimes even get I've had some
you get antenna boosters. Booster. Yeah.
Right.
But then more of the neighbors can see it.
Oh, you want to talk about old machines?
No. Oh, sorry. Yes, I do.
I had to pick up a machine from this one gentleman. You ready for this?
Yeah.
EGA.
Wow.
Ooh.
The machine is sold. Running, I believe, Windows 3.1.
Wow.
Nothing.
You still have a 9-pin TTL monitor lying around somewhere?
Yeah.
Of course he does.
Yeah.
But the thing is hosed, you know, and I hate to break the news to the person, but it's like, hey, you got your money's worth out of this.
Yeah, this machine owes you nothing, yeah.
It's even getting hard to recover SCSI hard drives anymore because SCSI cards are ridiculously expensive because they're intended for high-end servers.
Right.
And so putting SCSI on your desktop doesn't make any sense.
Right. SATA.
Yeah, the SATA hard drives are significantly faster and much cheaper.
Right.
Yeah.
What's interesting to me is I went to my daughter's at Geneva this summer and in the academy there, which, by the way, is phenomenal. And they had a parents' night where the parents got to go and play. That was my favorite part of the whole thing. I wanted to go just for that. One of the other parents was talking to me, and we were reminiscing about the old compacts, the old luggable compacts
suitcase.
And things like that. And I thought, yeah, these are the people who went through the wars, you know? That's some pretty interesting stuff. But there's a bunch of people with old machines out there. I have an old an Osborne in my garage. Probably I've got mice living in it. But it's out there now. Let's go back to the phones. Our next caller is John from Bloomfield, New York. Welcome, John. What's your question?
Recently, I had to put in a new hard drive.
Yep.
And in the period of when I was reloading all the office and everything else, I got a worm that I just can't get rid of. It's a Dell 8200 with XP Service Pack 2, and the worm is called Agobot, I guess it would be, agobot.ch. Hello?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay. Listening.
And I'm using Trend Micro, and it finds it and warns me about every minute that it's trying to access the Internet. I went up to the Trend site, and they said, here's how to get rid of it by editing your registry. And I can't find the files that they reference in the registry, and I'm at a loss. I tried the security tangle, I'm going to say, 3 times.
Yep.
Updating each time.
Yep.
And,
yeah, some of them, and I say that some of them just don't.
John?
Yep.
Here's another program which I'm just starting to play around with, and I found it very effective. It's called eWIDO. E-W-I-D-O. .com. Go there. You can try this eWIDO out for 15 days. It's a very good product, and I highly recommend it so you can get download it and try it on your machine. You'll be amazed at what it finds and gets rid of.
Oh, and I would be happy to pay for it if that was.
Well, it, like I say.
Well, that's the point.
Yep. Try it out. You can try it for 15 days. You can run it. It will get rid of it. It's not one of these demo packages. But try eWIDO. And matter of fact, I'm thinking of adding that to my CD, updating that down the road. But like I say, I've been playing with it. And I think you'll be very pleased with it. So give it a shot, and then let us know how you made out with it. Because I'd like to know what your thoughts are.
It's from the same folks who do AVG. Pretty nice product. We're going to take a quick break. At 39 minutes after the hour, we have Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
America's longest-running computer show on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Once again, here's Nick Francesco.
Where? Oh, I'm right here. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 43 minutes after the hour, you are listening to Soundbites.
You didn't give the current conditions.
Excuse me. It's 79 degrees under cerulean skies in Rochester, New York. Happy now? Oh, you're not even going to tell me whether or not you're happy now? Once you said that, you walked away, you lost interest, you were gone somewhere? Is that
No, you need a little improvement on that, but we'll work on it.
Okay, I don't do the I'm doing the time check.
Well, the funny part about it is you have the blinds down in there, so how you can even tell what the sky looks like right now is beyond me.
We're talking to geeks. They're all in their mother's basements huddled around the computer. They don't know what. They don't even know there's a sky out there. It's the big blue room. That's all they know. It's the big blue room. Big deal. Okay. You happy now? All right.
I got to get myself a wireless microphone here. This one, compared to the old ones.
This is the new one.
These stink.
That's very different.
But I mean, no, Rob has been telling me, and I'm glad that he's telling me, that, you know, if I turn sideways because of the way this studio is laid out.
You got to walk like this around the microphone. That's how it works.
Yeah, but still in all, I mean, the other ones, he's telling me, though, even when I do this, it's a fading out.
No, not when you're that close to it. We got to be right up on top of it like this. You got to be very, very friendly with the microphone.
Get a new mic.
Maybe it's just mine that on the side it works
Maybe
fine.
It's the user.
Yeah, it could be the user. You think it could be? I mean, the two of us are not.
Your computer Rob's could be not in having danger a problem. The next
Steve's
time it comes
Steve's not
over.
Having a problem. I'm not. I might be nice to him at least until tomorrow afternoon. Because I'm getting my new computer tomorrow. So I got to be nice to Dave at least until tomorrow afternoon. AOL. AOL is talking about going free. Free the AOL.
Free for broadband users.
Yeah.
No, they're saying it's also free for dial-up users. Basically, it's a move to increase their online advertising. AOL's been in a lot of trouble lately in terms of users.
They lost 1 million users last quarter.
Yeah. On the other hand, advertising rose 40%. So they're beginning to realize advertising revenue. So they're beginning to realize it's not about the number of people they have. It's about the number of eyeballs on their ads. So they're now talking about free content. You'll be able to get to a lot of their stuff for free. It's still going to be ad supported, and that's fine. But they're talking about an entirely free service. I guess. They do still have dial-up subscriptions. They do still have a broadband subscription, but that's not what their main focus is anymore.
They're going to cut down on their aggressive marketing, they said. Remember the old jokes about AOL discs?
Man.
Oh.
The people who plastered their walls with them, who built sculptures out of them.
CDs.
Sure.
And they're dropping... They're significantly dropping their price. Their dial-up subscription is going to be $10 a month, down from $27, I think it is now.
Yeah. They're still going to keep the $25.90 per month premium plan, but that will include 50 gigabytes of storage and premium custom care.
Somebody calculated how long it would take to download 50 gigabytes on a modem, and it was years.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what a dial-up user is going to do with 50 gig. Might as well give them 100. Who the heck cares? It's not going to change anything. But all right, that's fine. But at any rate, there you are. That's AOL is going free. So for those of you who've been paying for it for years, you might think, why?
Okay. I was a Charter subscriber to AOL back in, 15 years ago now. 20 years ago, almost.
Right. Right.
Yeah, before the Macintosh. It came out on the Apple II.
That's exactly right. That's right. Our next caller is Dave from Lima, New York. Welcome, Dave. What's your question?
Hi.
Hi.
I've got a Pavilion ZT1135 laptop.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I think it's overheating.
You'd know if it was overheating, Dave.
Well, I ran the mob meter on it to show the temperature, and when it's idling, it's around 50 degrees centigrade. But as soon as I do anything on it, move the mouse, it immediately goes up to in the 70s, and then the fan comes on and it blows it all off. But the fan is constantly on and off. The heat is constantly going up into the 70s and then back down. I replaced the little heating coil thing there next to the fan.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't replace the fan because it seems to be working fine.
Mm-hmm.
And I also put in another processor because the original had just gotten real hot, and so I put in another one.
Right.
But it's still doing this, and so I'm just wondering what could be causing that. What can I do about it? Is that too hot to be running in the 70s and then being constantly cooled down?
Are you? Is it so hot that you don't want to touch the case?
No, not at all. I'm just. I just understood that if it's constantly going up in the 70s, it's going to burn up stuff. It's going to ruin the CPU, possibly even affect the hard drive.
Well, that's what the fans are for.
Yeah, the fan is keeping it from staying at that temperature. The other thing is, in addition to the fan, make sure that all the vents are clear.
Yeah.
Laptops have even more of a problem with that than most desktops do, because you carry them around. You stick them in the case, they get lint, they get everything else.
Well, the other thing, too, though, is people will sit there and use a laptop and they throw it on their lap.
Oh, and that kind of blocks the vents.
You want to make sure when you're using it.
And in fact, lift it up a little bit. We sell laptop lifters that lift the back up a half an inch or so to let some airflow around it.
Some of them also have fans built in.
Yep. Yeah.
That might be a good thing for
you to try.
Laptops
aren't meant for your lap anymore.
No, they're not. All right, we're going to take a break. Back in just a couple minutes. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and at 49 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
4 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. Now, back to Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 52 minutes after the hour, 81 glorious degrees in Rochester, New York, you're listening to Soundbites under beautiful azure skies. Out in the big blue room with the big yellow ball that frightens us. We are geeks. We are frightened.
Amalgamated Association of Morons, Local 6 and 7/8.
Cite me. You could do Three Stooges.
I was going to say you are the Three Stooges.
I am. I have Larry's hairline, Curly's body, and Moe's attitude. I am the Three Stooges. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is, pick one.
You pick it. This is the one we should.
All right, from Bob from Livonia, New York. Welcome, Bob. What's your question?
Hey, yesterday I booted up my computer and I got a checksum error. I was able to go to setup and I noticed that the date on the system clock was set for January 1st, 2000.
Mm-hmm.
Reset it, was able to continue on, no problems. Today I went to
Same
boot
thing.
Up. It doesn't even boot up. It doesn't even turn the monitor on.
Does the power supply even spin up?
Yes.
That's bad.
Yeah, you might have fried the thing. You should probably take it to a service center and have them do a diagnostic.
Checksum error generally means something is failing on your hard drive.
Yeah, or memory.
Or memory. And now it won't turn on at all. Power supply, logic board, memory.
Yeah, you could have blown that. Like I say, a diagnostic could tell you in a few minutes.
It doesn't even tell to turn the monitor on. Does it
right.
get to that point?
Yeah. Right. Somebody should be checking that motherboard to see. There are diagnostics that can be run on the motherboard, but you have to have the tools.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks.
We'll give that a shot. And we should mention that... that in many, particularly now, with all the thunderstorms that are going on, remember to turn your machine off or at least protect it with an uninterruptible power supply.
It's been good business for me.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I shouldn't mention this, should I? Our next caller is Marcy from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Marcy. What's your question?
Well, I just wanted to share some information. I got fed up with Microsoft Publisher, and I was trying to find something that wasn't going to break the bank.
Yep.
Fat luck that was. Well, I finally discovered something, a little company in England called Serif. They got this great thing called Page Plus. It is so professional. It makes Publisher look like I'm playing with building blocks.
Nice.
And it is cheap. I think it cost me like $80, including, you know, shipping to get it here. And it's so powerful. I mean, it's like Windows, but it's not exactly the same. So, you know, like you say, when you switch over to OpenOffice, you got to learn where some of the where the radio is.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's a little bit different. Some things are the same, some things are different, but it's so powerful. I just wanted to share this because after looking at Ventura, Adobe, and the next level of Publisher, I was just thinking, I'm going to die, I'm going to go broke, I'm just going to take out a personal loan.
Sure.
Yeah, there's a dearth of entry-level publishing programs, and Microsoft Publisher is crap. And ask any printer when you want to get your stuff printed.
Yeah.
They hate Microsoft Publisher because it produces such garbage files.
Well, you know, my Page Plus thing that I got, I just wanted to share that this even when I say print, is that you want to do color separations, and it asks these questions I've never even heard of. But they've got nice little tutorials. They don't talk to you. You have to read them, but that's cool.
That's cool.
And you can talk to real people who answer your questions for real.
Nice.
On an 800 number. Not
yes.
On, not
it's version 11
nails.
Even.
Yep. Those of us who are into free, Have been taking a look at a product called Scribus, S-C-R-I-B-U-S.
I tried to get that one, and it didn't. I wasn't able to get it down.
Yeah.
I guess it was a beta version. I was having a bad time with it. I gave up.
Yeah, I've been running it off of on my Linux box. Mm-hmm. It's also available for Windows and the Mac. It's free, and so you don't get the nice support that you're getting, but it's a pretty neat one, too. As long as you're happy, that's really what counts. Thanks so much for sharing that, Marcy.
Okay.
Thanks.
We've run into the same sort of problems on the Mac. Inexpensive page layout programs, InDesign and Quark are the two common ones, and they're $700. There's one called Stone Studio, and that's about $100. Even Apple's iWork is $80, has something called Pages in it, which is really, really nice. Wonderful templates come built in, so we're starting to see the low end is entry level consumers are catching up now.
Right. Our next caller is Bob from Webster, New York. Welcome, Bob. What's your question?
Good afternoon, fellas. I have a minor problem. I have a PC with a Media Center PC, and every year, about once a year, I lose my ability to watch television with it. I was able to download the guide. But it says, I get a video error. Files needed to display the video are missing or corrupt. Please restart Media Center, which I did a few times, or restart the computer, which I did a few times. And I'm wondering, it says to go to help for additional information. Boy, that help isn't too helpful.
There's a couple of things here.
Okay.
First, you need to check to see if your memory is going bad. And you do that at memtest86.com. The second thing is look to see if there's an updated driver for your video card. And it may be that the driver itself is out of date. Then you want to see if there's an updated driver for your TV tuner. If there is, then you need to download that.
See, all those Windows system updates that download can screw up other things.
Yeah, yeah. All right, it looks to me like we are actually done for another week. I want to thank everybody who called in. I want to apologize to everybody to whom we did not get. Call early, call often. You know how that works. We will be back here next week. It is 58 minutes after the hour. And we will be back here next week with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with Rob Linton, with me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.